Good morning. Our gospel this morning is composed of three little sections, probably of independent origin. They were brought together, perhaps by Mark, but more likely by one of Mark's sources somewhere along the history of oral transmission, to make a small catechism on possessions and their relationship to Christian living. The first and most dramatic is the story about this young man's, not young man, that's Mark, but Matthew. Matthew says he's a young man. Luke says he's a ruler. Mark doesn't tell us either of those things, just says one, masculine singular one, you know, as in on the, right? So a person, a man, ran up, knelt down before him and asked him. Notice that it begins as he was setting out on a journey. Two things that are important about that. First of all, it tells you that this was originally an independent story, right? Because in its context at Mark, he's been on a journey for some time now. He's leading the disciples up to Jerusalem. We've heard that before. So he's not really setting out on a journey. Maybe setting out on the day's walk. The journey has already begun. The other thing, interesting little pun in Greek, the phrase that means on a journey literally means into the way. The way. Tuck that word away around in your mind. Tuck it away. Tuck away in your away. You will find it again. It has significance. It's the way up to Jerusalem. It's the way to Calvary. It's the way to resurrection. It's the way of discipleship. As he was setting out into the way, someone came running up and knelt down. What do I do to regain eternal life? And after the preliminary discussion, Jesus looks at him and loves him. This is the only person that Mark tells us that Jesus loves in the whole gospel. I mean, it's fairly obvious from other way he relates to folks that he loves a lot of people. But only once does Mark say, and Jesus loved this person. The beloved disciple, that's in John, that's a different gospel. Here in Mark, this is the only one. And he walks away. Jesus loves him and invites him. Come follow me. Come join the 12. Must be room somewhere around here. We can find a place for you. Come with us. What an invitation. To be one of the 12 apostles? What wouldn't you give for that chance? And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Did he really? Or did they have him? Here he is with the absolute chance, not just of one lifetime, but 1,000 lifetimes. And he walks away from it. Sad, because his stuff won't let him go. Fairly dramatic, especially for us Americans who are so devoted to our stuff and think we own so much neat stuff. Do we really? Or does it own us? Question to think about. You're called to discipleship. Does that cause your face to fall? Do you walk away sad? Because you have to leave your stuff behind. Just a little story that grabs you. Makes you stop and think about a lot of things. To that get added two more little passages. One that's sort of explanatory of the story. Probably originally independent. How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples are amazed. They're thinking the way we think. The way most people think. Everything's easier for the rich. If you want a vacation in Tahiti, the rich can do it and I can't. If you want freedom to keep the commandments, the rich have the liberty and I don't. The rich can't be saved. Who can be saved? Jesus, well, you're right. It's impossible. Say that again. It's impossible. For human beings, any human being, all human beings, it's impossible. Wait, babe. And then the punchline. But not for God. For God, all things are possible. Echoes a theme we heard a couple of weeks ago. You know? Receive it like a child. The way a child receives a gift. Because that's what it is. You can't build it, you can't earn it, you can't do it. But God gives it. And then this little story about Peter, always hoof and mouth disease. You know? We've given up everything and follow you. What's in it for us? You can almost hear the what's in it for us, can't you? And Jesus tells him quite a bit, actually. You give up everything you left behind. But look at the size of the family that you acquire. All the brothers and sisters you will now have in the community. Look at all the houses you will have from here to Rome as you go to dwell. All of that in this age, with persecutions, and life eternal in the Olam Haba. That's what you get. Somebody took those three and put them together and made them a set of reflections on possessions and discipleship. And then Mark came along and said, that really works. I can use that as part three of scene three of Act Two. And it acquires another whole set of meanings by being put in that context. You know the structure, right? Each act begins three scenes. They're all the same. Jesus predicts the passion. The apostles do something stupid. Jesus teaches. When the end of Act 2, Jesus has predicted the passion the second time. The apostles are arguing about which one of them is the greatest. And then Jesus begins to teach. Now, how does he begin to teach? What does he say? This is important. And it was a couple of weeks ago, so let's go back. They've been discussing among them which one of them was the greatest. So Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, anyone who wishes to be first shall be last of all and servant of all. That's his tagline for the teaching of Act 2. He then proceeds to put his arms around a child and say, you receive one of them, you receive me. He proceeds to rebuke John, who's saying, we saw somebody driving out a demon in your name, but he wasn't one of us, and we told him not to. He's still too full of himself, guys. And then he goes on to give a 3-point homily on stuff that gets in the way. Stuff you have to let go of. Stuff that you cling to in your effort to be first, that you need to let go of in order to be last. So that, paradoxically, you can in fact become first. We heard two of them last week. He's talking to first century Palestinian Jewish males who have this absolute right over their wives and children. And he says, you've got to give that up. You can't just hang a potential decree of divorce over your wife in my way or the highway and rule with an iron hand. That isn't what it's about. You've got to let go of that. Even your children have to be more than born house servants. These are the ones who have learned or haven't learned any different to accept the kingdom of God as a gift, which is the way you have to accept it. And having talked about wives and children, he now talks about stuff. He takes this little 3-part catechism on stuff and adds it here. You want to be a disciple? If you want to be first, you have to be last. You have to give up your dominion over your wife. You have to give up your dominion over your kids. You have to give up your attachment to your stuff. Become last and follow me. And to that he adds, or finds fortuitously in his original material, a little one-liner that had been circulating. They have gotten added to the third story, which in turn got added to the three stories, which in turn got added into the gospel. But it makes a wonderful inclusion for the whole sermon. He begins by saying, if you want to be first, you must be last. And it ends by saying, but many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. If you really want to get ahead in this life, it's the way of discipleship. And if you really want to do it, you've got to let go. Decenter. Stop trying to be number one. There's no way to get to be number one by trying to be number one. The first must be last, and then the last will be first. Let go. Let go of your dominion over people. Let go of your attachment, your dominion, your drive for stuff. And then follow simply as a servant. And we'll hear that theme even stronger in Act 3, which is much more concise than Act 2, and we'll do start to finish next week. But this three-act play about who Jesus is and who we can be is really the heart of Mark's gospel and resonates just as clearly, perhaps even more clearly for us in the 21st century than it did for them at the end of the first. You want to be a disciple? Let go of your dominion over people. Let go of your obsession with stuff. Be last and follow me. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.